to another show of Atlanta Sales Talk Radio. This is your host, co-host, Steve Cadley, and with me is also Stone Payton.
Good morning, sir. It's afternoon, actually.
Actually, it's afternoon, yes.
But they don't know that out there, though.
Yeah, that's right. It's sunny outside right now, yes. So we are very happy to be on the air again, and with you we have a very special guest this holiday season, as we go into this holiday season of Thanksgiving here in the States, and also then on to Christmas. I know that's probably not politically correct to say these days, but I'm going to say it. And those of you, happy Festivus, those of you who celebrate Festivus. So we are actually here with Mr. Les Adkins, and who is from Orange SMS Consulting, and we are really, really happy to have you here. So
it's glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Not a problem. I'm glad you're here, because you're what SMS Consulting, Orange SMS Consulting does, very timely, very insightful. And we talk about social media. So give us a little bit of background of what Orange SMS is.
Well, Orange SMS Consulting deals more specifically with some the larger organizations around social strategy. Mm-hmm. So what it does is it takes what you're doing, what organizations and companies are doing from social media efforts, builds a strategy around that to affect behavior. So it kind of looks at it from a strategic point of view as opposed to a how-to point of view.
So, and you said social strategy. So it's social media strategy?
Media strategy. There's kind of a new, the people that have been in social media for a while mm-hmm. are trying to drop the word media from social, because social strategy, social media is not really just another media.
Right.
Or another medium.
That makes sense. Yeah. And back when we actually met so many years back, there wasn't a lot of people in what we were calling then social media.
Exactly. You know, we talk about how when we first met, there's a small group of us in the world.
Right.
And nowadays you can't really throw a rock without hitting someone who quote unquote claims to be doing social media.
Right. Absolutely. So you're going in and doing social strategy. And I like the idea of dropping the social media from that. Because now I see the social buyer, the social customer.
Right, exactly.
Social selling.
Social employee.
That's a new one on me. Social employee. social CRM. All of these things I think are really intriguing as they emerge. Whatever they are, I think it's up for anyone to define.
Yeah.
So tell me more. So Orange SMS Consulting, you're doing social strategy. What does that look like?
So we actually use a methodology that was created by Forrester Research called POST. You basically decide, P stands for people, who your audience is, mm-hmm. and you define that. And then you look at what your objectives are for that audience. Then you build a strategy around that. And then technology is last. You implement it on the technology. So with Orange SMS, one of the things we like to say is we're actually technology agnostic.
Mm-hmm.
Due to the fact that you really don't know where your audience is, so how can you speak to them unless you know where they are, what technology to use to get to that audience, because they may not be on Twitter.
Right.
And so if you're really strong on Twitter, but your audience is not there to allow you to build that relationship and build trust with them, then what's the point of being on Twitter?
Right.
And there's a half a million other social sites out there that may be a niche that may be perfect for where your customer and where your audience is.
Got it. Makes sense. And so the POST, mm-hmm. POST is audience, or P
people.
Is audience,
yeah.
people.
O is objective. Your objective for that audience?
Okay.
And then S stands for strategy.
Got it.
And we add a little bit on top of that. I don't know if you're familiar with what's called the whole brain approach.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was created by Ned Herman, Herman International out of Lake Lure, North Carolina. Ann Herman's the CEO. And so we actually add the whole brain approach on top of that, that allows you to not only mold your message toward your audience, but also to include all of your audience.
Right.
Based on their thinking preferences.
And so you're using POST, which is audience, objective, strategy, and then technology. And
right.
Technology agnostic. But then you're overlaying a whole brain approach.
Which, exactly.
And Ann Herman, having met her, she'd probably be great to have on the show. I think
Oh, definitely.
What her father came up with in that whole brain assessment. And Stone, are you familiar with that?
Well, you know, I think I am. Now, I don't remember ever taking one, but that name sounds awfully familiar. And the idea of engaging and capitalizing on the whole brain, to me, that's just a very attractive concept.
Yeah, there was the assessment. I got to quit saying test. The assessment is called the HBDI, Herman Brain Dominance Instrument. But here's a really cool story about Herman, if you don't mind.
Sure.
So you're familiar with Microsoft, right?
Yep.
You're familiar with Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
You're familiar with a game called Kinect?
Yeah.
Okay. So the game Kinect was developed, that technology was developed with the whole brain approach.
Really?
So Herman and Microsoft connected, and now Kinect is the leading selling peripheral game out there on the marketplace. So they've taken whole brain from just a consultative point of view to a truly methodology where if you use it, you can create technology, transform organizations, transform departments. And they're taking that one step further.
Interesting. So they use the Herman Brain Dominance model or theory to actually put a game around it. Right.
The one that they used the most of it was the rafting game. Are you familiar with the rafting game?
Yeah, I don't win that game, so obviously I probably don't have a whole brain. I don't want to talk about that.
That's what kind of really got me excited. I've been in sales for over 25 years, so all the tests and things that are out there. But the reason why I like the Herman Brain Dominance so much, the whole brain approach, is it literally looks at your thinking preference. How do you create decision making processes? And they use that process to develop that game.
And is how far astray, not to take us all too far off,
right.
Assessments aren't necessarily the focus of sales, but
correct.
An area of interest and expertise that I think we have some in the room here around. How does the Herman Brain Dominance Assessment differ from Myers-Briggs?
Okay, so Myers-Briggs, if you take a Myers-Briggs, say, this morning,
mm-hmm.
and let's say you take it 3 months from now, and so take it this morning, sunny day, you're feeling great.
Right.
Take it 3 months from now, it's a rainy day, middle of winter, snow's on the ground. You'll get different results.
Interesting. Okay.
The Herman Brain Dominance, if you're over the age of 30, because your thinking preference locks in at 30, I won't go into the science, but if you take it and you're over the age of 30, if you take it today, 10 years now, it'll be the exact same profile unless you've had a traumatic experience in your life like a death. A child being born, a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
So unless that traumatic experience has happened, it'll actually be identical to when you took it now.
Okay, makes sense. All right, so I can see how that. So the fluctuations in MBTI, Myers-Briggs is going to be fluctuable based on your mood almost.
Correct.
Interesting.
And it basically measures personality more than it does the thinking preference and decision-making process.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Interesting. Did you know that, Stone?
I did know that. I came out as a J-E-R-K, I think, the last time I did the Myers-Briggs.
Well, I find that that's interesting. I actually, you've got me stunned once again.
I like that.
Stunned to
silence. I don't know if I know that category.
Yeah, it's hard to find. It's in the back. There's a little paragraph there. So, all right. So all of that said, POST is really the methodology that you go. And that's from Forrester's research, which is, I think, from what?
Groundswell.
Right. A great piece of work. And that was early on.
Very early on.
And that was where I learned about the Streisand effect, if I remember that.
Right.
And do you remember the Streisand
effect? Do not leave us hanging. What is the Streisand effect?
Go ahead.
So back in the early days of social media and social, whatever we're going to call it right now.
Social media is fine.
It was really an example of how you can't control this new social mesh that's coming out. It's emerging. People have control. There's no controls on the internet, and there's no controls.
Look what you're letting us do.
That's exactly right.
Right.
Well, there's no FCC over our shoulder. So... with that said, there was Barbara Streisand has a ruling, and I think it might be in the court of law, where she doesn't allow photos of her property, which is a beautiful piece of property right on the Sound, right on the ocean in California. And these young guys had an idea for a book where they were going to take a coffee table book, build a coffee table book that was going to be pictures of the whole coast of California. So they did fly over, and they were taking pictures, and they were doing the whole coast pictures, and it was supposed to be pretty dramatic. Well, they took pictures of Barbara Streisand, of her house and her property, and she put an injunction out to say, no, that can't happen. Well, this is after they had put it up on the blog and they had already started to get ready to produce the book. And because she said, no, I don't want anyone to see this, it went viral.
Exactly. Exactly.
And once it's out there on the web, you can't get it back.
Right.
And
right.
So that's started to coin the Streisand effect. So
well, it's like telling your kid in the back of the van, don't think about the fact that you need to go to the bathroom. We'll be at grandma's house in an hour.
Right.
That has the exact opposite effect.
That's exactly right.
Exactly. You know, and a lot of cases now are happening that way. There was a story, and I don't remember the company's name, but you're familiar with the site Dig?
Yeah.
So the way Dig works, it goes by the number of hits.
Mm-hmm.
Prioritizes
the news. Yeah, the so news. Dig is it's a news aggregation site where it's the most popular news story is the one that makes it to the top.
Exactly. So this particular news story went to the top. The company that it was about sent a cease and desist letter to the owner of Dig's.
Mm-hmm.
So he pulled it, which met the requirements of the cease and desist letter, but because of the way the algorithm was written, it kept coming back up to the top. And what the courts basically said, once it goes viral, as long as he did what he was supposed to do originally, there's nothing that a company or a person or anyone can do
mm-hmm.
once it reaches a certain status from a viral aspect. That's out of the control of the legal hands.
Right. Well, that's interesting. So that created actually a history or
precedent.
A precedent. Thank you. That's what I was looking
precedent.
For. I can see you're using all of your brain right
I
now.
I am. I'm trying to.
The full brain dumb is good.
And it's afternoon, so I'm lucky I came with my whole brain.
There you go. So let's go back to Orange SMS.
Okay.
So what are you doing for your clients? Because you have social strategy and strategy around what are some of the objectives your customers are looking for?
So, for example, I deal with a lot of companies that work with, or a few companies that work with business to business.
Okay.
And so
we like business to business.
We like business to business. So what they do is they actually use this post methodology to really define, okay, who is our audience?
Mm-hmm.
So what type of company are we a vendor for? Are we actually selling our products or services for? Then you start with there, what do you want them to do? Well, the easiest answer is I want to buy more stuff.
Right. Okay.
So, but we actually kind of say, okay, we want to buy more stuff, but do you want them to buy it from a transactional point of view, or do you want them to buy it from a solution point of view or a consultative point of view? We actually define that objective more.
Good. So they could, whether they buy it online or whether they're buying it from people or maybe from an inside sales type of environment.
Exactly.
Whatever the channel is. Okay, I got
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Then you create a strategy that does three things. Number one, it builds trust.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't immediately go into the social world and say, hey, look at me. I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. Buy my stuff.
Right.
Because I'm here on social media and because you need to buy my stuff because, look, I'm here. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, because I have a better mousetrap, right?
I have a better mousetrap. That doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
So to use an example, our grandparents, when they lived in neighborhoods. They lived in communities. When they were going to get their house fixed, they didn't hop online or look in the phone book. They asked their neighbors, and they trusted the people in their community. If a salesman came in from outside of that community, he was looked at as an untrustworthy person. And so what social has done is it made that community, just on a larger scale from a technology point of view, you trust the people in your community. So it's up to organizations and companies to find out where your audience is,
mm-hmm.
know what your objective is, then start giving them free information that adds value to their life so you build trust to the point where you can actually start selling your products and selling your services.
So at the core of that strategy is really to then identify, so what is it going to take? Now that I've identified, here's my audience of engineers.
Right.
And we know they have a distrust for salespeople.
Right.
And our objective is to gain and build trust with them so that they'll buy our engineering solution, whatever it might be. And then so the strategy is around how I'm going to build trust with these engineers.
True. It's a strategy. How I'm going to build trust, how I'm going to actually start becoming their trusted partner, which means you have to give information that unfortunately or fortunately, I think it's just kind of a transparent thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you information where you actually could go to my competitor and buy the things that you need to do what I'm telling you to do. To make your life better.
Yeah.
But the goal is, how it works in a neighborhood, is since I'm where you are and I've given you this information that's helped you,
mm-hmm.
you're going to buy from me.
Interesting.
So it's that whole different concept than that competitiveness from I compete against you, so I'm going to talk bad about you. The minute you start talking bad about anyone or your competitor in the social world, you lose.
You lose. That's interesting. And then the technology is... So in the technology and the social strategy world, what are some of the technologies you're...
Well, I mean, there's the easiest ones are the top three, LinkedIn, Facebook, right. and Twitter. But, you know, there's a whole... We actually just partnered with an organization that's part of our organization now as well, where there's this whole cutting-edge mobile technology.
Yep.
So apps, text, push, you know, it's... We have mm-hmm. I talk a lot about a concept called 30-30. People under the age of 30... use technology in a very different way and from a very different perspective than people over the age of 30. And if you're in business today, you need to find a bridge between what's working for you now, reaching that over 30, and move toward where the under 30 is, because in 5 years, if you're not there and you're not reaching out to that under 30, you won't have a business.
Interesting.
That's where your customers are.
So you're really at the apex of that convergence of change that's going on.
Trying to be, yes.
Okay.
Yes, trying to be.
Try, don't try, do.
Do, don't try, say, do.
Who's that from?
Stone Yoda.
Star Wars, man.
Yoda.
No.
There is no try, there is only do.
Mr. Miyagi.
Oh, you're right, I'm sorry.
What?
I was thinking yes. the same. No. I was thinking of the same thing as Star
Yoda.
Wars.
Yoda.
Oh, you're right.
There is actually. No try. There is do or do not.
Well, that's actually, that's so I stand corrected. It is Yoda and it is Mr.
And
Miyagi.
Mr. Miyagi.
Both of them.
From Karate Kid, the original Karate Kid.
And now there's two.
And there's
with
two.
The little Will.
Will Smith's
kid. That kid's got it going on. As this, he already didn't have enough going for him. Now he's a rock star actor.
Exactly. Yeah.
So under 30, and I just think, because I think you hit something on with a phone, right? So you think about people that, well, you look at the phone. I'm pulling up my old 3G.
You still haven't gotten a new iPhone?
We'll talk about that.
He's holding up, for those of you who can't see out in the listening audience, he's holding up a can and a string.
So with that said, it's you still use for text, apps, and everything else that's out there. You're not really using it. We call it a phone, but it's not a phone the way it used to be.
Well, think about it now. When you walk outside, I mean, I have a laptop, one of the Mac, the one that fits in the envelope. I forget what it's called.
The Mac Air.
The Mac Air. I have the Mac Air. Which is now outdated due to the iPad and all the pads that are out there. So, but if you look out, you know, that's what people are using. When I give talks at universities and things of that nature, or with business groups, the first thing we say is I hold up my phone and I said, I started off with saying, where do you get your information from?
Yeah.
And you get all the traditional television, newspaper, magazines, all that type of stuff. And I hold up my phone and I say, here's where the Gen Y and the next generation of your customer mm-hmm. is getting their information. If you're not here, you don't exist to them. And if you don't exist to them, you're not going to be able to sell or market or even recruit them as talent into your organization.
Well, and I'll tell you what, if you're a keynote speaker or you're addressing a group at that age group, don't get offended if they're messing around with their iPad and you're trying to make this poignant.
Exactly.
Point. They really are paying attention. They're still absorbing it. But it is it took me some getting used to because... Well, you can. Mm-hmm. I'm a little long in the tooth. I was speaking way before we had iPads.
Right. I agree with that 100%. And a lot of people will say there's been a lot lately that comes out and says, you can't really multitask. You have to focus in order to accomplish anything. There's no human being can multitask. Well, my take on it is that it's still brand new. That age group that's multitasking, we don't have enough information on. We used to think that when brain cells died, they were dead forever. Now we know they regenerate, but regenerate slowly.
Mm-hmm.
We also used to think that when you became an adult, or if you were handicapped, that your brain was locked. Now we know that you can actually create new connectors in your brain to change your thinking and even change motor skills in some people that have disabilities.
Right.
So we're learning so much about the brain and how it's changing and evolving. So my thinking is, you know, you can't tell a 16-year-old who's texting with his friend, playing World of Warcraft, and then also listening to a lecture that he's not absorbing the information, because I believe that they are. It's mm-hmm. just a different way that they grew up than we did.
Right. No, absolutely. I can see the multitasking world. I mean, you don't know what the old rule of thumb is, that we as human beings only use 10% of our brain.
Exactly.
Perhaps we're using 12. I don't know. So, all right. So back to the idea around sales. So we know a little bit more about Orange SMS. You're building, you're helping organizations go after the social strategy or go after their client base using the social mesh, the social cloud, whatever we ultimately call that. And how is that tying into sales? One of the things that, you know, because this is Atlanta Sales Talk Radio. So,
right.
And I know you have a background in sales. So.
Yes. It's actually turning into, it actually meshes very well with sales.
Okay.
One of the easiest top of mind, if you don't take anything away from sales, please take this away. If you're still cold calling, stop. Because we have this thing called LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. All you have to do is put a company name in. It'll actually give you all the C-level executives. It'll see who you're connected to within that organization, give you the size of the company, and give you all the people that are on LinkedIn within that company.
Right, no, I got you.
So why in today's modern world, even, I mean, at least Google it.
No,
but,
absolutely.
But take it that one step further, the LinkedIn, because maybe your best friend from college is now the CFO. Or maybe your best friend from college that you haven't talked to in 6 years is now VP of sales.
Mm-hmm.
And so your chances are, as connected as the world is, I just saw an article about the 7 trends for 2012.
Yeah.
Mark Zuckerberg said the pipes have been laid. The last 5 years, the pipes have been laid for the foundation for social media.
Mm-hmm.
The next several years are going to be really awesome because people are going to start building things that are unbelievable on top of this foundation. Mm-hmm. One of the things they talked about was television and how television is going to start meshing with social more and be more affected by that. Apple is coming out with a TV that will actually, every time they come out with a brand new product, it reinvents technology in and of itself and our attitudes. So going back to the sales perspective, if you're still making 100 calls a day, and I know I'm going to upset a lot of the VP of sales and sales managers out there, you're not using the best effective use of your time or your talent. And Gen Y, under the age of 30, who you're trying to recruit and get to look at you as an organization so that will hire you, will not work in those organizations because they're so used to being connected right away. They can now connect to 20 people they didn't know before in a bar or in a club or at a concert because now they're all on Twitter and they actually can meet someone online and say, yeah, I'm standing next to the stage, come and introduce myself. And once they meet, they already know each other.
So you're using social, using Twitter or LinkedIn or even Facebook at this point.
Exactly.
To make the introduction and to reach out and touch them? Or do you use it then to pick up the old phone analog, make an analog call?
It's kind of one of the either or.
Okay.
So it depends on an age again. Depends on an age again. So if I'm under the age of 30 or I'm very comfortable with technology, then I actually ask for a connection with someone, like if I'm not connected to them, with some of my friends that I am connected to them with.
Sure.
If I'm not that technology savvy and I only use it to get information, pull information, I now know more about their organization. I know more about their connections on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
So I can call and say, yeah, we're connected to XYZ, Mr. Smith, Mrs. Smith, who works at, and she and I went to college. I wanted to call you because we're doing some really great things and then go into your spiel.
So that's how the idea is really utilizing the social mesh to create warm leads.
Exactly.
As opposed to making a cold call.
Exactly.
Well, while you're having that conversation, I call up Les Atkins. I learned real quickly. He was Chief Strategy Officer, co-founder at TalkTube, Senior Learning Exec at Premier Global, Executive Sales at Premier Global. He already has more credibility with me because I see that he's carried the bag some.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And if I've got a meeting with you tomorrow, a lunch meeting with you, I'm going to go here to LinkedIn. I didn't go to LinkedIn. I went to Google. I Googled you. Google sent me to LinkedIn. People are finding out about you and doing. That's the way that they make a lot of. A lot of your first impressions are well before you meet them, is what I'm trying to get at, I guess.
Exactly.
You know, and we've been talking about this for a long time, and Les and I, you and I, we know that's what we've been making recommendations on doing, and we know a lot of people do that, and Stone, you just did that. How many people do you think are not doing that?
Way too many.
Really?
I mean, I really think that some of the organizations, because of our economy, what do we do when things start going bad? We go back to what we know. So unfortunately,
a lot
of the middle managers and VPs
turn into
what they know, which means that I need that person on the phone, numbers game. I don't want to mess with this internet thing because it's wasting my time.
Good.
And so I think they're missing the boat. Because if you look at the companies that are doing that, like Google, like SAS,
mm-hmm.
Some of the larger companies, Yahoo, even Coca-Cola, you know, you go into some of the that are using social integration, Virgin, in all their fields, the airlines, the most recent one, Unite, where he's doing the charities, they actually have a very large fan base, you know, raving fans, they call it. Mm-hmm. But those raving fans are more than raving fans. They're connected. So if Steve, for example, if you needed to be connected to someone in the Atlanta Opera or the Atlanta Entrepreneurs,
yeah,
for example,
sure,
then if you looked on my LinkedIn, I'm connected to several people within that organization. It'd take what? Just one phone call or an email from you, and I could connect you to that person. So it changes the way the dynamics. I truly still believe from a perspective of it's an online world. Like you said, you can Google anybody. And if you haven't Googled yourself lately, I highly recommend to do it. And if you're not there, you need to get on board and start building your digital presence. Because if you're not there, like you said, they start forming that opinion about you quickly,
right?
Mm-hmm. Before they meet you. And if you're not there, that actually lowers that credibility rating.
So let me ask you this, particularly the under 30 crowd, and maybe there's a distinction, maybe there's not. If I reach out to you because you and I get connected after the show, right?
Right, right.
And then I reach out to you because, hey, you know Joe Smith over at ABC Company, and I've really been wanting to get him on one of the shows. Are you happy to do that? Or are you like, oh, geez, now I got to go call this guy and help Stone out? Or are people, particularly under 30, happy to do that because it keeps them being the great connector guy?
As long as you're within my trusted community. So if you are never, let's say, for example, if I never see you on LinkedIn, and then all of a sudden you connect with me on LinkedIn and you shoot me an email and say, hey, I'd like to connect with this guy because I'd like to have him on the show, then I'm going to go,
not
maybe,
so fast.
Yeah, not so fast. Let me find out a little bit more about you. But if you're always there and I see your updates and you're part of my community, yeah, no problem. And the difference, and we probably don't have time to talk about it on this show, but the difference is a single word. That is transparency.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Right.
And that under 30 is very transparent. Meaning, you know, tell me, if you want to buy something, if you want to have this guy on your show to promote your show, tell me that.
Right.
You know, if you want to have, you know, if you want to meet this guy because you'd like to get in to sell them something, tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you tell me you just want to connect with them because you might be able to help them, but your true agenda is... They want to help you, and I find out about that. Not only will I never, or will that person never work with, you know, connect you to anybody again, but you'll actually become like a black sheep in that community, and they'll say, don't let this guy get into your connections. They're just going out there, and it's about keeping my connections and not having someone that I'm connected to ruin. So Steve called me and said, hey, I want to meet somebody. Mm-hmm. If I can do that, I would do that.
Right.
So it's building the trust even within your community.
Building the trust even within your community, yes.
Okay, interesting. And so you're using social media, the social mesh to build warm leads, and you're building social strategy for small organizations or large organizations?
We're doing it for large organizations.
Okay.
There are a lot of people out there doing it for some smaller organizations, but
sure.
We are actually working with large organizations.
So who are some of the prospects or some of your key...
NetApp.
Okay.
Is a data... I don't know if you're familiar with NetApp. People
yep.
that aren't familiar with NetApp will know EMC.
Yep.
So NetApp's a direct competitor of EMC.
Okay.
We're also working with a lot of tops. We're having with another gentleman, we're going to be speaking to a lot of technology CEOs and having a seminar
sure.
in February. I also am working with a couple of CRM companies and
mm-hmm.
talking to their clients because they're that social CRM.
Yep.
And I'm actually talking to their clients. And so it kind of works together. Again, I'm technology agnostic, but I can work with companies like that. We work around the strategy. And if that particular technology works, great.
Sure. That makes sense
for them. So that's kind of, did that answer your question?
It does. I start to see how you're really agnostic and you're transparent. You're saying I'm working with the CRMs,
sure.
I'm working with other players, I'm going to be whatever, whoever is using whatever your audience is,
True.
Is using whatever technology, you're going to interface with that.
Exactly. Okay, exactly. And here, you know, here's another really easy one in asking about how can sales help use social to help them in sales.
Right.
One of the big things is, you know, I need to trust you nowadays in order to buy something from you. Yeah. I have to have a relationship with you.
Sure.
So I am a true believer, and there's several people out there that are actually helping sales teams with this. You know, start building your presence, becoming that trusted partner on the social media sites that you're on.
Sure.
So don't just use them for, I mean, we're no longer two people. You're not somebody at work and you're somebody at home. You're the same person. You don't split in two when you wake up in the morning and leave your fun self in bed and take your boring self to work.
So that's interesting. So one of the things of old, 2 years ago.
and even sometime right now in some companies.
Right. Well, you had said something that I'm keying in on, which is people said, no, I keep my personal life on Facebook and my business life on LinkedIn. And I have been watching this blurring of the lines, and I didn't think it was going to last anyway. But now you see Facebook. If you look at all of the advertising that you're seeing, they're not advertising their webpage,
right?
Particularly on TV, the advertisements. They're advertising their Facebook page.
Exactly.
Which I see business really getting into. How do you address that with your clients in there?
Well, again, it all starts with where their audience is. But I'll give you a real quick statistic that's amazing. There was a social media stats for 2011 came out, and it shows that the time spent, number of hours spent on Facebook is like 53.7 million, something of that nature. But what the interesting thing about that fact was, that statistic, is the same time spent on Facebook equals the entire amount of time that people were spending on the internet in 2004.
Wow.
So for just Facebook. Mm-hmm. And so in answer to your question, you know, you've got to have that transparency. The ivory, we joke about it, but we talk about the glass ceiling is cracked,
right?
Broken. You know, you've got to truly connect with the people, and you've got to take the good with the bad. That's a thing that a lot of organizations are having trouble with, but you've got to take the good with the bad. Guess what? If you have a reputation of being a sales guy who's a hit and miss, you're a gunner,
yep,
who companies used to love. Most times, customers aren't going to buy anything from me nowadays because I can find that out by just asking a few people in my community.
Yeah, so you'd be able to. So exactly. Your history. So it's almost like your reputation follows you now.
Exactly, and so you've got to be. You know, I heard a great line: "Don't do anything that you wouldn't want your mother to know about." But at the same time, you know. It's a world that doesn't really hold a lot of... I want to know you as a person. Trust me, I'm not going to buy anything from you unless I trust you. Mm-hmm. You might have the best price out there. You might be the cheapest and the best value or the best thing. But if I don't buy from you, and we talk about this in our sales training, but if I don't buy from you, the reason why I didn't buy from you may not be your product, may not be your price, probably not even your value. It's because I did not trust one of two things: A, you as a person, or B, that you and your company could deliver what they were asking.
Okay.
And I trusted the other person that I bought from more, because individuals make buying decisions, companies don't.
It makes sense. But then I go back to, and Stone, you and I were a little long in the tooth. I like that term. So with that said, that's not uncommon. I mean, people don't buy from people. People buy from people. People buy from people they trust.
True.
That's the same when Willie Loman was out there pushing, what was he selling, hair brushes?
Okay.
Death of a Salesman?
I don't trust you.
I appreciate that.
I don't trust you on the topic of hairbrushes. Now, why do you think that is?
I'll give you that.
You're lucky this is radio.
I'll give you that, Stone.
You need to get a webcam in here and make it more social.
Right.
So, yeah, for those of you who don't know, I have a wonderful hairline.
Follically challenged.
I am follically challenged, but this is by choice. So it's a whole other story. So
some people want to waste all their hormones on a head of hair. That's their business.
That's not mine. Absolutely. So with that said, I mean, back in the day, back in the 50s, they're saying people only buy from people they trust.
Okay,
right?
but
how has that changed in today? I'm hearing the same
thing. So I can, back in the 50s, I had to tell you that you need to trust me and have reasons why you need to trust me.
Oh, okay.
And I could go back and kill my mother and father wake up the next day, come back to you, you'd buy from me because you're not going to know about the fact that I'm just now a mass murderer. You're still going to buy from me because our personal relationship, you trust me.
Okay, I'm with you.
So nowadays, that trust goes a little bit farther. We talk about how the cut, also in the 50s, if it was a good deal and I trusted you and I liked you, I'd buy. People buy from people they like and people they trust.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, but nowadays, they're a little bit more educated. So if you use tricks on me, or try to use tricks on your customer, mm-hmm. I mean, I've been selling since the late 80s.
Sure.
I know the tricks. They don't work anymore.
Good.
You've got to be genuine. Here's the problem. If you're in sales right now today, and I know several people that are in sales right now today, if you're not genuine and you truly don't believe that your product or your service can help the people that you're talking to, do yourself a favor. Get out of sales because you might make a few dollars along the way, but in the end, you're going to hurt yourself and hurt your career.
Makes sense. Well, I can see it because now you know the trust before the people still buy from people they trust.
Exactly.
Now they can educate themselves and say, is this person truly
they
trustworthy?
Can ask their community. Yeah,
ask their community. All right.
And so I guess the next step to that people buy from people they trust. If you're not in my community,
mm-hmm.
I don't trust you. That's why. You've got to find out where your audience is and start becoming part of that community.
Okay, good.
So you may tell me I need to trust you and three people, but if I look you up on LinkedIn and you're not there, then now you've dropped a little bit in my book. So the trust is not as big as it was, even though the guy next to you was my dad. If I look at you on LinkedIn and you're not there, I'm going to wonder, how can you sell me technology and not even have a presence on LinkedIn?
Oh, no, that's interesting. So now... And I understand that's true for you, and I would argue that it's very true for me. However, how much do you see that as being true across the board? I mean, if you were going to break the buying community, if I'm going to buy something from somebody, I'm going to do a little research on it myself.
Right.
How many of us are actually doing that? How many of the buyers are doing that level of research? So if I'm not on LinkedIn,
right,
or I don't have any kind of presence out there in the social mesh,
right.
Does that truly hurt me as a salesperson?
I would say yes.
Okay.
And here's why. If you're selling to people 50 and above, knock yourself out. You're good.
Okay.
If you're trying to have a larger market and you're selling to 30 and under, you're dead if you don't have a presence online.
Okay. I see.
And so a lot of things go back. That's why we really developed that 30-30 philosophy. Because a lot of things, yes, it's a generalization. Yes, there's both sides. You know, there's differences on both sides. There might be someone under the age of 30 who doesn't touch technology. But overall, the trending is moving toward that if you're under 30 and you're not where I live, which is online, which is on my phone, then no matter how much you tell me I need to trust you, I won't trust you.
Good.
And so I see where, you know, that's one of the things why we work with organizations on kind of bridging that gap.
Mm-hmm.
Because we understand that you're still making money today using the same traditional things that you've used. The problem is, or the challenge that you're having, is, okay, if you want to just do that for the next 5 years and then close down the business, retire, and go home, please do.
Right.
If you want to continue with the successes that you're having and have new successes, you've got to slowly start changing your business model. We've been talking about you got 5 years. If you haven't done it by now, you're probably too late. And all those things are true to a certain extent. However, the economy has allowed businesses to not have to make those deeper changes.
That makes sense. Okay.
Because there's an older workforce an older group in the workforce,
and they're not retiring.
Right.
That makes
exactly.
sense. Okay. Good. All right. So with all of that said, Orange SMS. Consulting. How would people reach out to you and find out more about what you're doing? Because it sounds very intriguing, and it's a little bit different than what. How are you different from your competitors out there, or other people doing social strategy, social media work?
Here's what we talk about. There are people claiming to do social strategy, and some of them are, and some of them aren't. So I'm not going to, there's some really good people out there. Here's the warning sign that we always tell people: if the company that's trying to help you do social strategy owns a platform. Mm-hmm. Of any social platform, at the end of the day, they're trying to get you to buy their platform, to become part of their community on their platform.
Okay.
So where we different by being platform agnostic, technology agnostic, we're truly, you go back to the IBM model, business development consultants.
Mm-hmm.
We're truly looking at it from a very broad perspective. We can do a deep dive into those, but we start looking at it from a broad perspective on what, where your audience is, how to get them to affect behavior by using social and social strategy. And you have to have a strategy around your messaging and all of that. So that's kind of what makes us different.
So that, with all that said, now you people understand now how you're different. How will they reach out to you? How's the best way to get to you? Les?
You can get on our website. Our website is not the greatest. We're actually going through a rebuild on our website. But you can get through our website, which is orange-sms.com. Or you can just call us.
Orange-sms.com. Okay.
Or you can call us, 770-656-0399.
Great. And email address?
Les.adkins.
Okay.
At mysilbert, and we didn't get to talk about that. We can talk about it after that. Mysilbert, which is M-Y-S-Y, L as in love, B as in boy, E, R as in Robert, T as in Tom.com.
All right. Good. Outstanding. So really interesting how you're tying social media or social strategy into the sales process. And I think you're right on in how it's actually creating warm leads. And the idea of cold calling is a, you don't need a truly cold call.
True.
Maybe it's warm call. You can use the social mesh to create some warm calling opportunities.
Right.
So with all of that said, so what are you seeing right now? Because you talked about the economy, but it's like a man on the street type of idea. What are you seeing that's happening in the economy at this time of day?
I see two people, two groups of people. They're the people that you're hearing about moaning. I'll be nice. No, moaning and groaning about, oh, my business is horrible because the economy is bad. Or, or, you know, I just haven't been able to do anything for the last 3 years because the economy has been so bad. Well, I'm here to tell you, there are a lot of organizations spending tons of money.
Mm-hmm.
So the money's in the economy. It's just, are you where the money is? And so, you know, I know that it's been bad, and I know it has affected some very severe families, individual families on homes and things of that nature. And if you have a JOB job, it may have affected you in that area. But if you own a business or you're running a business or you work for a business, people are buying things. Right. If you're not selling them things, then you're talking to the wrong people.
So you see an economy improve?
I think it's I see it improving. But again, it's about, you know, you've got this whole group now saying the 1% and all that, you know, that one, we won't get into that, but I think that, you know, it goes back to, are you doing what you need to do for your own personal economy? I think if people stop looking at the larger economy and blaming that and start looking at your own personal economy, then your personal economy will increase. And, I think, I mean, you know, I'm a still big believer, and I'm actually an example that the American dream is still very much alive. Absolutely. It did not die.
Good. I appreciate that insight, and especially whether you're out there in the world. So with all that said, I appreciate your time. Stone, any last questions for Mr. Les Adkins?
Well, we got to have him back. I mean, the guy knows too much. Well, there's a ton of stuff.
You didn't even get a chance. You're writing a book right now, too, Les.
I am.
We got to get him back, talk about the book. But I think what would be fun sometime is to have him come with a delighted client. And then interview the client and give them a chance to talk about how they're actually using the service. Would you be up for that at some point? That'd
yes,
be a fun
yes,
interview.
Yeah. Yes, that'd be great.
Yeah. So
can't then, contain the guy in one interview. I'm sorry.
That's true. I think there's a lot to be said because we didn't even cover all the topics we wanted to cover.
Right.
And I think even maybe it's there's several meetings or several have you back on the show for several times with you and Ann perhaps.
I'm
intrigued how that's going.
Yeah.
And also sometime in the April, so we can start to help you and learn more about your book.
Definitely. So, that'd be great. Thank you.
All right. Les, thanks so much for being on the show. And this is Steve Cadley. And sometimes I masquerade as Stone Payton, but that's a whole other story. Signing off here. Appreciate your time. Appreciate your listening. And remember, I like to remind everybody that everybody is in sales. So happy selling. Till next time we talk.